you might do everything with AI, but it will be extremely expensive. You can build a bot that will cost you hundreds of dollars just to implement per CV, and you have 20,000 of them. It will be very expensive. It's not economically, it's not, doesn't make sense. So you need to filter for things. And then you need to think how you do the matching with AI. But, you know, from first thought, the user that is not familiar with AI and the cost and all of that, he's like, I'll just throw it at this and it works. And you tried it in OpenAI or something, and it seems like it worked. But actually, it didn't.
Welcome to the AI Advantage, where modern leaders decode the future of tech. I'm Solomon Williams, founder of Solonox. So here, it's no noise, no hype every week. Sometimes it's just me, and sometimes it's the brightest minds in tech, breaking down what it really takes to grow smarter with AI and automation. Let's dive in. Welcome to the AI Advantage. I'm your host, Solomon. We have a special guest today. We have Chaim. He's the CEO and founder of AutoKitty. So Chaim, thank you so much for coming on to the show. I'm really excited to have you on. Yes. Just tell the audience a little about like what is AutoKitty, like a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so a little bit about myself. My background is computer science. I have a PhD in computer science, started as a developer, a lot of R&D, then a lot of cybersecurity, product management around those areas. I had a startup like 10 years ago, and now this is my second time. And now I'm co-founder and CEO of AutoKitty. And what we're doing in AutoKitty is basically an automation platform for developers. Think of it kind of a Zapier or N8N for developers, more like people who can code. We call it vibe automation, which is goes very well with AI right now. And we'll talk about it. And this is what we do. And we started somewhere else and we moved because of AI. So I think it will be an interesting talk about how the world changed in the past 2 years from a founder's point of view, which is very stormy water. And some fun, couple of fun facts. I teach every now and then computer science, especially operating systems. So this is related to what we're doing. And the name AutoKitty, it basically came from my co-founder in the company. His name is Itai Donenhirsch. And it started from the fact that he is really bad at names and he really likes cats. So this is kind of the mixture of the two and the outcome. So whether it's good or bad, it is what it is.
I love that. So like what inspired you and your co-founder to really build up AutoKitty? Because you said there's kind of the competitor Zapier and NA. So what was the catalyst that had said, you know, this is what we kind of put, we see a gap in this market?
Yeah, so actually we started as a platform for developers. So my co-founder Itai, he used to work for companies like Google, Twitter, Lyft, and all of those. And in all the companies he saw, he noticed one problem or many problems, but at least one that he could have solved easily. And the fact is that sometimes developers need to do some automations, even simple ones like you do a PR and you want to send a Slack message or something like that. It sounds very simple, right? But actually to get it running in a company can take days because of security, because you don't have a platform, you need the server, you need all kinds of things just to keep it running. So automation, the code may be very simple, but the infrastructure to make something running is challenging. So we started with a platform for developers to be able to kind of automate things easily. And this was also connected to another technology that we're using. It's called Temporal. Basically, it's about durable workflows or durable automations. What it basically means is that you can build a workflow, especially now when you have distributed systems. The way you usually build them is that you have events that coming to queues, and then there is database and you process them and then you continue and you have basically a state machine, like an operating system, a state machine. The thing is, what happens if infrastructure fails in the middle? And then you have to either roll back or save the state or do something like that, which is very complicated. And so this company, Temporal, or even before them, there was Cadence, that doesn't matter the history, But there is a notion of saying, okay, let's build durable workflows. And durable means that you can write code, but under the hood, it will save the state of the process. So even if, let's say, you're running something long running with multiple events, but your server crashes and restarts, it will pick off from the same spot. So you don't need to write all the code and state machine recovery. This is the core technology. And actually what we've built around it is that you can write pure Python code and it will become durable, meaning that you can write sequential programs like automations with events or calling APIs or whatever, and you don't need to take care about infrastructure failures. Which makes it very simple to build automations, but especially AI agents, which are long running. Let's say you have a chat that can run for half an hour or a day, or you want to save the state. One way is to save it in the memory. And if something crashes, fails, or something, you have to restart and somehow to pick off from where you started. In this technology, it just comes out of the box. So this is really interesting. So we started with that, but it was before there was AI. So we started with an automation platform for Python developers, basically, that provides automation platform where you can run processes and it will manage your processes and allows you to see what's running, what failed, and so on. It provides a serverless platform for running processes, which are also durable. But then, like I would say 6 months ago, we understood that the world has shifted. Or at least it's shifting, because the expectations now from a platform is not only to allow you to write code. Developers want something faster, something easier. Right. And frankly, I was keeping an eye on AI for a long time. And I was trying to, you know, create code on our system and it didn't work. It simply was, it wasn't good enough. So we can, you know, say, okay, you can vibe code or do something with the platform. But then, like, I would say 6 to 8 months ago, I figured at least in Claude, you can do a great job. It does like 80, 90% of the job from first shot. And then with some vibe coding, you can fix and do automations like magic on our platform. So, Just to clarify, you can vibe code. You can use Claude or Surf or whatever platforms to vibe coding. But for a developer, you have a problem because, okay, you have the code, but where do you run it? You need infrastructure. You need servers. You need security. You need logging. So we realized we have the platform to run the code and make it durable. So now you can actually build automations with vibe coding or vibe automation and deploy it with a click, which wasn't possible up until several months ago. So the world changed and we realized, hey, we have to change our business model. This is like what we have is great, but this is not what developers expect now. So we built a layer basically on top of our platform that you can vibe code. You can say in words what you want to build. It will help you build it, create code. And with a click, you deploy it on the system, and that's it. So for us, this AI ride actually totally changed the way we develop a platform and we deliver it and the value that we bring. Something that wasn't possible up until not recently.
It is. But it kind of bring up a point of it too, because just from the side of, you know, you're thinking of all the, you know, if you're thinking of like, we're putting these into the cloud or kind of the building out the infrastructure for it. You have to, you know, your databases, and then you have your, you know, all of these and thinking of in terms of, from my experience, like building out landing zones, like in Microsoft Azure or something else, or AWS or GCP, you have to build that out. You have to think of the guardrails in place for policies. You have to think of, you know, identity management. There's so many pieces that goes involved into it. So with that said, as you said, that there's now a progression now that beforehand you couldn't do that. Now you're implementing it. How do you see the role of AI like evolving and as developer automation goes more over the next year, especially with this vibe coding, now you're implementing in this end. Where do you see the shift in that? If you're seeing how much we can.
Yeah. So first of all, we are targeting a specific niche of vibe coding.
Okay.
We're not trying to say, okay, you can build a whole system from vibe coding. This is not what we're targeting at all. We're targeting those automations which are usually simple or have several steps, or, you know, you don't need necessarily huge databases, but you need to automate like day-to-day stuff,
right,
or business processes,
right,
or operational or DevOps. And you need to do it fast without too much hassle, without, you know, building a database and all of this. This is what we're targeting. And in this specific niche, to me, the vibe automation or the possibilities of AI made it so different. It allows things that up until now weren't possible. So even automations for no-code platforms like Zapier and all of those, you would still need to be a builder. You would need to, if you know those platforms, you need to take boxes and connect them and all of this, which you might not be a programmer, but you need to understand what you're doing. Today, with what AI allows you to do, is to build this even with knowing much less, just explaining you what you want to do, and it will not only kind of build the boxes, but also connect the dots and the connection between the boxes, which makes it much easier to build stuff, which up until now wasn't possible, basically.
So with that, because you brought up a good point of just on taking it that now, even though you might not need to understand that, go deeper in, that people need to understand, or business owners, or see, they need to understand the framework. Is that fair? The architecture, a little bit of that. So as you're building like this, and when you're educating, you know, your partners and your clients, what do you see like a key point as like moving forward, even as the technology is moving forward, that people need to know less than, you know, what are those key aspects that you think that they need to know, or, you know, keep that in mind as you're building this framework or helping with developers? Does that make sense?
Yeah. So actually, this is one of the issues that I'm most worried about, because I see how people use our platform, and I think there are too much expectations from AI.
Yeah.
People just think that, okay, I'll just drop a sentence, you know, and AI will just fill out whatever.
Right.
And he will take care of everything, including error handling and connect everything and even choose the systems. Just get it done with. I don't care. But life is not that easy, right? And you still have to understand what you're doing. And I feel that sometimes the expectations are too high. And since the expectations are high, there might be a disappointment. People use AI, but then they didn't really define what they want to do, but they didn't get what they expected to from some reason, even though they didn't thought of it through, but still. So there's kind of this mental change that people have to understand, that AI is not magic. You still have to know what you're doing, at least to some level, and you have to define it. Yes, you can ask the AI to assist you. You can, you know, it's a great assistant, but it cannot replace you. And I think this is where it's, on one hand, very helpful, but on the other hand, very frightening that people are not thinking through.
So, and I hear this a lot on this side, because of it, you hear like the marketing and so forth else, that AI can do it all. You hear, it's either on one hand of the side where, I think we've even talked about it before on previous conversation, of like, it's either AI can do it all, like it's the best thing in the world, or the other side is where there's a fear of, it's going to take my job, it's going to do everything. So there's that balance. So, you know, as it transitions through, and even with you, when you're kind of bringing forward people on, you know, is there a step now that when business owners are when implementing these frameworks and AI in, and they need to understand what they're doing, do you feel like not only do they need to understand their skill, do they need to understand how it all works, like the prompting of it? Or, you know, when you educate your clients on this side and they have this very skewed way of how AI is, how do you kind of bring it together to now where they don't have to rely too much on, like, as you consult through, they know, understand the system less, more and more, and they don't need as much hand holding?
Yeah. So I'll give you an example.
Yeah. Please do.
I'm working with this customer that needs to do kind of matching between HR, between job descriptions to HR, to basically CVs and some information coming from the system. And the initial thought of this customer was, okay, I'll just take this and that, the HR and the job description, and just give it to AI, and poof, I have, it will replace all my, you know, employees, and I will fire everyone, and that's it. But then you have to explain that actually things don't really work this way, because there is structured data that you need to first filter users based on it, right? Otherwise, there are also cost issues, right? You might do everything with AI, but it will be extremely expensive. You can build a bot that will cost you hundreds of dollars,
yes,
just to implement per CV, and you have 20,000 of them. It will be very expensive. It's not economically, doesn't make sense. So you need to filter for things. And then you need to think how you do the matching with AI. But, you know, from first thought, the user that is not familiar with AI and the cost and all of that, he's like, I'll just throw it at this and it works. And you tried it in OpenAI or something, and it seems like it worked, but actually it didn't. So on one example, it works. So what I'm trying to say is that you, as someone more technical, you have to kind of explain the limitations of AI, the cost of AI, where it can fit. So it's a different way of thinking of what to know. So it's not necessarily does yes to know how to connect the AI or the system to each other. This is solvable. But to understand the architecture and what are the framing of what you can do, this is a whole new profession. And I think it's challenging, even for me as a technical person. And this changes so frequently that you don't even know what to expect from AI, whether it do a good job or a bad job, and how much time will you have to enhance it, and how expensive it will be. It's hard to estimate. Like in the old days, you would estimate the cost of a project somehow. Now you have to estimate it in a different way, which is not much easier. It's just different.
Yeah. And so like advice do you give the client to help them set that realistic expectation around like the automation and the, you know, the outcomes of what to expect?
So first of all, what I tell them, hey, first let's think of the problem that you want to solve. Let's go over the steps. Think it over before we go into details. And in many times, people will say, okay, it might be too complicated. I cannot just throw it at the UI, at the AI, and just expect it to, you know, to finish it. And then some of them will, at the middle of the process, will say, well, it's too much. So my point is that the expectations are very high, but eventually in technology, not even technology, it's something to do with human processes and all of this. You have to think through. This is no magic. And so I advise them first, let's go over the process. Let's define it together. As if you would explain to me, think of AI as somebody who will replace me, okay?
Yeah.
You cannot just expect me as a person to take your job and replace you without even telling me what you're doing,
right?
So same thing, you have to explain. And when you explain, you get into details and then you understand it's not as easy as you thought. Actually, the person that's working for me actually has many conditions and many questions he answers, and I need to think about him.
Right, context.
Yeah, the context. It's not only the context, it's the process itself.
Yes.
So yeah, AI is no magic and you have to think through.
You know, and it's like, and you kind of hear this all of it in terms of it. I really like how you said that now there's going to be a shift in this to now it's easy. There's easy solutions to how to integrate. You'll have to kind of troubleshoot, of course, and kind of figure out any configuration to get the process and the API, the connections to work properly and so forth. But once it is, you brought up a good point on the now we have to think of the business process side of what are the real outcomes. Like, let's really strategically view this and on the framework. And I think that you brought up a good, because you hear so much about AI, how there's companies are spending so much money on, you know, AI engineers, and you hear this, how to implement it in and, you know, throwing money at it, this can do this, but then the time it takes or these discovery to really understand what is the outcome, as you said, like, what are we really trying to do? So yeah, I like how you kind of touched on that. And really, I think there's a lot of value in that, that these is going to be these other voices that come into play to look at the strategy behind that.
So the way I see it, and even in my company,
yeah,
we can take a junior engineer and in a week, with the help of AI, build systems that otherwise would a couple of engineers would need to spend a month to do, and he can do this in a day.
Yeah.
So this is a huge, you know, efficiency enhancement. The challenge is now the product management part of it. You have to define what you're doing. This right. problem is not changed. The product management, what you want to do, which tools to use, what to convey, this problem remains. So I think even in the new generation of AI, people will need more skills of kind of, let's call it product management or defining processes before they implement, because this becomes the more complicated thing. Because up until now, you would spend so much time on building the details. Now you need to spend less time on this and more time on definitions and how to build it. And because the technical stuff will be solved fast.
Yeah. No, and utilizing just the vision of it and what's the overall, you know, thinking of it in terms of like the epic and like going and breaking it down into the these features and so forth else, rather than the just the task, the low level side of building yes. out. You know, so with that, Chaim, like, what would you say now with, you know, with AutoKitty at this stage or now, what challenges are you kind of seeing on this side so far that has kind of been frustrating and kind of what you're looking to like overcome right now?
I think that the main challenges is, like I'm talking now in a very wide picture, is that people have to adopt to new ways of working with software. So even, you know, there are no code tools. So people are used to no code, to building with graphical. But now there is a new way to build stuff, like with prompting. It's a different mindset. It's a different way of thinking. It's a different way of building. So it's kind of educating, or it's a process where people will have to adjust to how to build software. And I wish I had the magic wand and everybody can understand, hey, now I have this cool tool, I can use it, and I don't need all of that. That was too much. You can ask AI questions. You can build software and tell AI, show it to me in boxes and explain to me what it's doing. It does a great job. You don't really need to build with boxes anymore, but it's a process. It's yeah. a process.
Yeah. No, and I think that is just, again, is refining, and it goes back to even with the prompting, to know the tone of the prompting, the I love to say the context. What are you looking for on the output side that you're looking to get? So I think that changes. Now these are people just in our space and tech. Now you have to present that to, you know, business that are in the marketing or other features that may not be too familiar with that. So I like how you said is now you have to kind of educate it on a general level of business size yes. of population.
Yeah. And show new capabilities right. that weren't possible up until now. And it's always about education.
And so would you say, like, the main focus, would you say, for AutoKit, like, right now? Because I know, is it more on the community adoption? Because I know it's, like, more on open platform. Like, are you focused on just the adoption of it and the GitHub activity?
Yes.
And so,
yes. Okay. Yes, definitely. From in the company side, yes, it's adoption. It's about people trying it, using it. It's around those areas. Yeah.
Yeah. I think as in terms of it, I really liked it on how we were kind of going through. You have it to where it's more community driven, where people are bringing up new ideas and having it utilized. So I really like that side of it on you driving that. So with the community and bringing forward people with AutoKitty, have you seen like any good effective side on, you know, what so far from the feedback you've been giving that your partners and what your clients have really liked so far with engaging with the platform?
Yeah. So what I see that people build is it's very interesting to see what things people try to build. Some are for their personal use, some for business usages. So it's very interesting.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, people will, I think there is another thing. Mm-hmm. There are so many platforms and so much noise that people are totally confused. Like, you have Lovable and Base44 and Bolt, all of those no-code platforms for building applications, but they won't do what AutoKita does, which is automation, which is a different part of things.
Right.
But people don't really understand the difference, and they would expect that, I don't know, Lovable will do all kinds of automation, which it doesn't. This is not their core business. So you have to understand the world a little bit of AI and where each solution in each platform suits, which is not trivial. And there is so much noise these days, which I think it's very complicated to, you know, an average, even for to me, to understand what's working, what's not, which tool goes where, and which tool is supposed to do what. There's also a terminology issue here, because think about no code, the term no code. No code was used up until lately for applications like Zapier. And now no code is for building applications, which is totally different, nothing to do, right? So even I'm like, you're saying no code. What exactly do you mean? So much noise. It's really challenging these days.
So, you know, you kind of bring, because I had I had someone that's a CTO come on a couple of episodes back, and he was saying he just got brought on and they were looking to implement AI. He's had, because he's, you know, looking through on what's best to utilize. Should I create my own internal AI within the enterprise and have to take out all the money, all the tokens that's going to be able to utilize and all the time that's going to build? Or do I look on, you know, other platforms or just see what other that's outside and maybe we can partner and so forth on third party. So you brought up the point of even for you having to be able to work through and kind of keep up with all the noise and like what's really good, what's not. So with someone coming in, or what would you say to those others that are in your space that are other CIOs, you know, C-suite looking to implement in, what would you recommend into how to shift through the noise? Because of course, there's so many AI newsletters and so forth else, and to really seeing narrow it down to like, from now it goes from, 10, now it's down to 3. Well, how do you do it in your side?
So first, I try to understand the problem I'm trying to solve. If it's building applications or web pages, this is one thing. If it's automation, it's another thing. If it's, data management, it's other tools. So you first have to understand what is the problem, the core problem you're trying to solve. And you will have to assume that there is not necessarily a single tool that solves everything. Like if you really need to build end-to-end application, it's either you're very technical and you know how to connect everything, database with front-end and back-end and all of this, or you need to combine all kinds of tools together. I'm not familiar with any end-to-end platform up until now. So you have to understand your challenge. And within this challenge, try to find the software that handles this specific challenge. And try to not assume that it does other things as well. Yeah, so it's just a matter of defining what you want and focusing on the problem and trying to find the software that gives an answer or solves this problem, and not necessarily look for something which is general and will solve all your problems, because not necessarily there is something like that.
There isn't, but it's, I like how you kind of, you put into it as to where you really break it down instead of the folks that are just saying, hey, I need to implement AI. We need to implement AI into cost reduction, without really going into like, what are the key initiatives, like I want to bring it down by this much. We want to utilize, and now you're getting much more granular on this side. So, you know, with AutoKita, as you continue to expand, you're bringing forward more on the community side. Like, what is your vision for it in the next 6 to 12 months? Of course, of more adoption of the platform, but what are the key things are you seeing that would be successful that you'd like to see?
To me, the most interesting is to see how people use it and find the use cases which are most successful.
Yeah.
Because it allows so many things to do. This is the advantage and disadvantage of a platform. On one hand, you can do so many things. On the other hand, which are the most common things and the most useful ones? And to me, finding this is the main challenge right now, because we see a variety of things. And I wish we could focus on more specific things, like, for instance, DevOps, which is very interesting.
Yep.
But even DevOps is a huge area.
Huge. Right.
And we can solve there with our platform specific issues. We cannot solve everything. This is not what's supposed to do. But even there, for DevOps, what things we can solve, what we cannot solve, and which other platforms maybe we should work with to solve problems.
Yeah. So what, just so far, what do you usually see when folks work on? I know you see that, say that people work on, well, more on business, more on personal side rather than this thing. Do you see more folks trying to utilize, you know, automation or AI and just in their data, like with emails, organizing their emails? Are you seeing it more with just on sales, just like, oh, I just want to get new lead for the business side?
All kinds of things, from, you know, very simple automations for email or for Slack, mm-hmm. or for chatbots, or for personal or organizational stuff.
Yeah.
To more complicated things around Salesforce and lead management and marketing. And yeah, it's endless. We see all kinds of things, which is interesting to see.
I know. And I'm sure that once it kind of goes through even filtering those pieces out so people can know where, okay, they can build those in and kind of know exactly where to look for. So I think that's like the, you know, having that, because again, there's so many options, kind of like on Netflix or think of a streaming. It's like, I have so much of like, I don't know what to utilize, but now you help the person narrow it down. It takes that away and it helps them be able to focus more. You know, on a side, Haim, like, you know, I really liked this conversation because we kind of dive a little bit deeper more into the DevOps. Now we're really looking at more on a granular technical on the side, but still keeping it high level. So what would you say is like the biggest challenge you want to remove? Is that education, or is it, what would you say is the one thing that you want to educate or, you know, bring forward a bottleneck that you just see in the industry that you want AutoKitty to kind of help with that?
You know, from a business perspective, from company perspective, is usage. Just use it.
Yeah,
this is the main challenge for every new platform.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I want people to use it.
Of course.
So we can know how to improve it better to those use cases. By the way, there is another interesting issue right now that there are so many tools, and every day there are new tools. So it's endless. You can integrate new capabilities and new APIs. So think about it, that the world of services is growing kind of exponentially.
Very much so.
And connecting this all together and orchestrating it becomes an issue. And this is what we're trying to solve. This is on one hand, but what people will build with those tools, whether it's, you know, creation of media or creation of content or shipping information to different places,
right.
It's changing. Yep. It's even hard to predict.
Right. And it's always good to see, because there's so many ways of so creative opportunities that people utilize. I think that's the most fun part about it. It's like people bring forth new ways of creativity of implementing in that there was a gap that wasn't thought of on that side, especially.
Yes. And also, I think people understand that they don't need necessarily to build everything on their own. And they should use services, which is becoming more common.
Yeah.
I think the world is changing.
Yeah.
So think about scraping. I wouldn't build a scraper today. I would find a good company that does it for me, because unless it's something very specific. Because it's time, it's money. So it's changing. You have so many tools, you have to know which to choose and what is more cost effective for you.
And with that being said, though, you know, if, you know, kind of always ask as it kind of goes through, Haim, if you had like this, you had a magic wand to having, I think you brought up before what you would utilize it for, of just educated, just bringing forward, but kind of taking that aside, you know, if you had this magic wand, if you could implement, let's say ChatGPT 11 or 12 or, you know, whichever the case is, and it had this, what do you feel like you would, you know, wave that to either eliminate or to add value to others? Would it be what you just spoke on, or would it be something different?
You mean on our platform or in general in the world?
be both. It could be either or.
I wish that AI could turn like actually what people expect, that they would have something in mind and the AI would feel everything just in a way that people think and will. I don't think it's possible, but if it was possible, this is what I would like. Just to say something, I have a thought about building this and boom, I have it. I doubt it because, but this is the limitations of the humankind, not of the machines yet. But I wish there was something like that. And on the higher level, I hope that one day actually AI can find cure for all kind of, you know, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Human nature in general.
Yeah.
Because the possibilities are theoretically endless. Practically, they are still limited, but maybe over time.
Right.
I hope it will be used for good things and not bad things.
Yes. And I think that's the thing is now is of coming to, and I think you're hearing about it now, even in the industry, is there's so many good things. But now with all this data that is taking over, you have to think on how do I protect this data? And how do I, as you said before, with your, now you're building the infrastructure, the guardrails, the policies that are in place of it. And, you know, that's going to be just, that's the framework, the building blocks in order to like think of.
And security wise, yeah. It's a huge issue.
Yes, it is. So, I love this. I would want to just to finish off, like on security moments for like AutoKit, like what do you tell folks like on the client side, like just some high level thing to keep in mind now as this kind of going through on a security standpoint?
Yeah. So we as a platform, we are built for security and we have all the measures, but we're a platform. Eventually, if you use AI on top of the platform, you as a user have to put the guardrails. You cannot just assume that it's there.
Right.
There is no magic.
Right.
And guardrail is challenging because the amount of flexibility and the moving parts in AI is endless.
Yes.
So how can you restrict it? It's really a challenge.
Yeah. And so I guess it goes further than just putting in two-factor authentication. They have to think of other... No.
Yeah, of course. Even the simple things like don't let anyone abuse your system and do work for you by taking your tokens.
Right.
Or whatever.
Right.
Right. So theoretically, you can build an AI system and people will use it as their own open AI instead of using AI.
Right. On this side, no. This has been a great conversation. I'm really glad that you came on and so forth. So for those, you know, that want to learn more, either on LinkedIn, if you have that or with, where can people learn more about it and, you know, be engaged and if they're just interested in either in your journey or in the company, where can they find you?
So it's very easy. So our name is AutoKite with an H at the end. Just look for it. So we have a website. You can just log in. Try the system, whatever. And it's open source. So you can also go to the GitHub and download, try it, log in, whatever. And you can connect to my LinkedIn. I'll be happy to chat and explain and in general.
Right. This is great. Yes, it was great. And for those on the audience, we'll make sure you can check through on the show notes to be able to find through on AutoKitty and so forth. And if you wanted to learn more just on the GitHub side or just follow through on Chaim's journey through LinkedIn on the side. So thanks so much for staying tuned to the show. We'll catch you on the next episode. Take care, everyone.
Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the AI Advantage. If this episode sparked an idea, share it with your network. Subscribe for more no fluff conversations on how smart tech drives real outcomes. And if you're ready to future-proof your business, let's connect at Solonox.net.